We're looking at essentials for living a successful life. Last week we began how to get a grasp on your Bible. How to get a grasp on your Bible. Five ways to get into God's Word. Today we're going to consider how to use the Bible to make decisions. And this is actually the first part of two parts in that regard, and I'll preach the first part today, and then in 2 weeks, the second part. And we face, in the day in which we're living, more decisions than ever before, I think. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. We live in a multi-choice culture. The problem is that sometimes a seemingly insignificant or trivial decision has major life-changing impact. A small decision sometimes can completely change the direction of a person's life. Here are some decisions like that. Sam Phillips sold a small recording company to RCA Records in 1955. It included an exclusive contract with a young unknown singer named Elvis Presley. Sam unknowingly forfeited royalties on millions and millions of records. Bad decision. Tom Selleck, I didn't know this until I read about it, but Tom Selleck turned down the role for Indiana Jones. I think it was a bad decision, although Tom is still well known today, but they've made a lot of different movies off of that. A thief in Boston tried to steal two live Maine lobsters. He hid them in his pants. Bad decision. In Germany, there was a bank robber who pulled a gun and demanded money, and the teller says she needed to see his ID. So he pulled it out, he took the cash, and he left his ID sitting right there on the desk. Bad decision. Then I heard about three prison guards who were fired for giving the prisoners a trampoline for exercise. And you say, well, how is that a bad decision? Well, the prisoners used the trampoline to jump over the fence. So what's the key to making wise decisions? Proverbs 2, verses 5 and 9 says, if you want better insight and discernment, learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and of trusting Him. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong and how to make the right decision every time. You want good decisions? Listen to God. Today, we're beginning to look at six practical biblical ways to test a decision. Perhaps you've wondered, how do I know when God is talking to me? How do I know that I'm not just making it up? How do I know what God really wants me to do? We'll look at six guidelines for decision making. And parents, you need to teach these to your kids. These are how you figure out what God wants you to do. There are more than these in the Bible, but these six are at the top. Dear Father, I pray that as we look to your word this morning, that you, by your Spirit, will speak to our hearts and our minds and help us to understand more than ever before how to make these good decisions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are several tests. The first one is the ideal test. The ideal test answers the question, is it in harmony with God's Word? Is it in harmony with God's Word? Does God say in the Bible that it's okay to do what I'm about to do? Always, always, this is the very first test you want to look at. What does God have to say about it? In life, you have to decide what's going to be your ultimate authority. It really boils down to two choices. A, either God's word is going to be your life's authority on which you base your decisions, or B, the world's values are what you're going to base your decisions on. The word or the world? What God says or what other people say? If you base your life on popular opinion, of what is currently politically correct or the in thing, you're always going to be out of date because those things keep changing. What used to be in yesterday won't be in today. And what's in today will not be in tomorrow. The opinions of the world change quite frequently. It's a very shifting foundation. So, you do not have principles to live by if you base your life on popular culture or on political correctness. On the other hand, if you base your life on God's word, His truth never changes. His truth is always true. So if God says it was wrong 5,000 years ago, it was also wrong 500 years ago or 50 years ago, and it will be wrong in 1,000 years as well. It does not matter what opinion polls say or what political correctness dictates. It really does not matter what the media espouses. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It always will be. It always has been. If God says it's right, it always will be right. So you can either build your life on a shaky foundation that's constantly changing according to the opinions of the world, or you can build your life on what God says never changes. It's, if God says it's right, it always will be. God has set up certain laws in the universe. There are physical laws. We know these, like the law of gravity. What goes up comes back down. There are moral laws and there are spiritual laws. And God built our lives around these laws for our benefit. When you cooperate with God's principles, you succeed. Life is fruitful. But if you reject, disobey, or just simply ignore God's principles, you get hurt. You see, you don't ever break God's laws. Did you get that? You don't ever break God's laws. You break yourself upon them. If I jump off the top of a building, I don't break the law of gravity. It breaks me. The same is true of moral and spiritual laws. You cannot just thumb your nose at God and get away with it. Excuse me, I'm having difficulty with this thing fitting. It worked just fine the first service. I must have drunk too much coffee. So violating God's principles is asking for trouble. So in making a decision, the first question is what does God say about it? If God says it's okay, then I'll do it. If God says no, then don't do it. It doesn't matter what anyone else says or thinks. If 99.9% of the people are doing it, but God says no, then make the decision, I'm not doing it. Sometimes you need to make a decision, but you don't know what to do, and you say, do I do this or do I do that? Is it A, B, C, or D? You're in the dark until you get the life light. What's the life light? It's the Word of God. It's what God has to say about it in His Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's your light for life, your owner's manual, the guidebook. The Bible says it's all hear for your benefit in His Word. Let me tell you a secret. You don't have to understand God's principles to be blessed by them. You just have to follow them. You don't have to understand why God says what He says. Be absolutely clear on these two things. First of all, God is God, and you are not. God is God, and you are not. Neither am I. He can make any rules He desires. He's the creator. If you cooperate with God's laws and obey them, even when you don't understand them, you will be blessed. Now, I don't understand how electricity works, but that sure doesn't stop me from taking advantage of it. I turn on lights, I listen to the radio, I watch television, I get all the benefits from electricity without really understanding it. I don't understand all the physics of internal combustion, but that doesn't keep me from driving my car. You don't have to know why God said it to benefit from it. But if I ignore it, I'm going to get hurt and perhaps hurt others. What's the oldest temptation known to man? The oldest temptation known to man. It's the temptation to doubt God's word. Whenever we find something in the Bible that we don't like and you think is a bit restrictive or outdated, then we start to doubt God's word and we start saying, does the Bible really say I can't do this? Did God really say? Did God really mean? Anytime you start thinking that, you've fallen into the oldest trap in the world. It was Satan's original temptation. The one used on Adam. Whenever you doubt God's word and His love, you're headed down a very slippery slope. So when making a decision, the first test is, what does God say about it? The second test you want to ask yourself is the integrity test. The integrity test. Would I want everyone to know about this decision that I'm making? If in making a decision you worry that other people might find out about it, then it's most likely a very good indication that it's a bad decision. Why is that? Because bad decisions lead to secrets, and those kinds of secrets always lead to pain in our lives. Proverbs 10, verse 9 says, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." Notice it doesn't say might be found out or you'll probably be found out. It says you will be found out. So when making decisions, apply the integrity test. We've all seen how this happens. You're about to make a bad choice. You know it's not the choice you should make, but you think, I can do it because no one will ever know. And the moment you make that choice, the thought starts coming into your mind, somebody's going to find out. And you feel the fear that comes from that. That's how Satan works. You know, he tempts us to do something, and then when we've done it, he says, aha, look what you just did. The test of integrity is how your public life and your private life match. Your walk and your talk, what you say and what you do, are in harmony with each other. The truth is, when it comes to integrity, even if you can fool everyone else, you can't fool yourself. And if you violate your own conscience, you pay for that. James 4:17 says, knowing what is right to do and then not doing it is sin. If I know the right thing to do and I violate my conscience by choosing not to do it, it is sin as well. So one decision to ask when making it is one question to ask rather than when making a decision is, can I do this with a clear conscience? And every time I violate my conscience, it's harmful. For me, it's sin. Sometimes we think this way. We know we're about to do the wrong thing. We know we should not do it. But this thought comes into my mind. Even though I know what I'm doing is wrong, I'm going to go ahead and do it because God will forgive me. You think God is a fool? Could I go ahead and make the decision to do what he says is wrong and assume that I will not suffer any consequences? He does not want me to make such a decision because he loves me. And not because he wants me to keep me from having fun. Every decision has consequences. And every bad decision harms and scars our lives over and over again. I've seen people who have made decisions they knew were wrong, and they experienced the biblical principle, whatever you sow, you reap. It's a natural law as solid as the law of gravity. Does this mean that God will not forgive us if we do wrong things that we choose to do? Of course he forgives us. He's a gracious, forgiving God. But that forgiveness does not free us from painful consequences that come from bad choices. You can be forgiven and still bear the pain and regret. You can be forgiven and still struggle with that low self-esteem that comes from that decision. You can be forgiven and still suffer the broken relationships because of that decision. But how do you decide using the integrity test about gray areas where we don't have precise biblical guidance? Romans 14:14 says, if someone believes that something is wrong, then he should not do it, because for him it is wrong. This verse very simply says, when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. It violates the integrity test. The third test of a decision is the improvement test. The improvement test asks the question, will it make me a better person? 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, and not everything is constructive. Notice the freedom that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds you up. He's saying some things are not necessarily wrong, they're just not necessary. They're not essential. It's not a choice between good and bad. It's choosing between what's good and what's best. And most of the choices you make in life are not really between good and evil. There are those choices. But most of the choices are not between good and evil. You don't say, shall I read my Bible or become an international terrorist? That doesn't even cross our minds. Those kind of things. Or should I pray or become a drug addict? Those aren't issues for most of us. The issue is what's really best for you. A lot of things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. You need to go to a higher standard and ask, will what I'm about to do help make me a better person? That's the improvement test. For years, I was an addict. I was a certifiable TV football addict. I still enjoy watching games now and then, but it's no longer every game that comes onto the tube. I was wasting my life. Now, are these things necessarily evil? No. Are they bad? No. It depends on who you're rooting for. Are they a waste if you spend too much time on them? Yep, they sure are. Will they make me a better person? Hardly. You're giving your life to a second-class cause. Many activities in life are morally neutral. They're not right or wrong. They're just not helpful. They're not necessary. You ask, is there nothing wrong with it? That's the wrong question. The question is not, is there anything wrong with it? The question is it making me a better person? Now, none of us approach the Bible neutrally. We tend to read from our own bias and background, from our own temperament, and we tend to want to read into the Bible what we want it to say instead of just letting it speak to us. Approach God's word with a humble attitude that says, God, you know what's best for me, and I'm going to do what you say to do because you want me to be a better person. Humbly submit to what he says to you. And then the fourth thing that we'll look at today is ask yourself the question, could it become addicting to me? This is the independence test. The independence test. Could it become addicting to me? Could it begin to control and dominate my life? No matter how fun something is, if it begins to dominate your life, it becomes an addiction. It's not a good decision. No matter how popular something is, if it's addicting to you, it's a bad decision. No matter how good something is for someone else, if it becomes addicting or dominates your life, it's a bad decision. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. I'm going to decide actually not to do anything that could dominate my life. I won't let anything master me, consume me, or control me. And why is this so important? Because what dominates your life becomes your God, little g. In the first of the 10 commandments, God said, you shall have no other gods before me. He knew how easily we could become addicted to our idols. We think of idols as stone or metal or wood statues that people in other countries or in other centuries worshipped. But we in contemporary Waupaca, Wisconsin, still have idols today, don't we? We worship things and feelings and prestige and power. There are many things we can get addicted to today. Can you become dominated and addicted to your work? Of course you can. Can you become addicted to sex? Of course. To money, TV, video games, the internet, hour after hour? Of course. How do you know if you've fallen into an addiction? How do you know if something is starting to dominate your life? The first question to ask yourself is this: what do I think about the most? What do I think about the most? When you're alone and you're relaxed, what is it you find yourself thinking about again and again? It's really tough for us to admit the things that dominate us. Paul wrote, I've decided that I'm not going to let anything control my life like that. The Living Bible paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. You see, only Jesus Christ should have first place in our lives. He's the only one who's worthy of that. Anything else we put in that place will eventually dominate, control, and in some way damage our lives. But when we put Christ in first place, He is the one who encourages and enables and empowers our lives. That's this independence test. Can it become addicting to me? Is such a vital question in making great decisions. So today we've looked at, first of all, the ideal test. Is it in harmony with God's word? Are you being tempted to do something that is contrary to God's word? Secondly, the integrity test. Would I want everybody to know what I really am? Does your walk match your talk? And then thirdly, the improvement test. Will it make me a better person? Are you filling your mind with less than the best? And then the independence test. Could it become addicting to me? What dominates the thoughts of your mind most of the time? Here's what Jesus would say to you. He says, whatever you've done, what questionable decisions you've made, he says, I love you and you matter to me. We've all made stupid decisions in life. Really dumb decisions that have been devastating to ourselves and to others as well. Jesus would say this to you today, I love you, I will forgive you, I can restore you. And I can even reverse some of the damage that you brought on your life and the lives of other people from your bad decisions. Jesus says to you and to me, I will welcome you home, back home with open arms. I die to forgive those dumb decisions you've made. They've already been paid for on the cross. If you will come to me and give me all the pieces of your life, the good, the shameful, the ugly, the parts you're embarrassed about, just hand me all the broken pieces and I will give you my peace. Not only that, Jesus says, I will give you the power and the wisdom to start making good, helpful decisions for the rest of your life. Not thoughtless or hurtful decisions that cause scars and shame, but good, smart decisions that cause satisfaction and significance. What a deal! Who would turn that down? The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is this. Who is going to call the shots in my life? Is it going to be you or is it going to be God? Maybe you're not doing a very good job of it. And that's why you have so many problems and so much stress in your life. Give it to God. I invite you to pray this with me. He says, God, I want to commit myself to spending time with you every day, to read your word, to meditate on it, and to talk with you. Help me to do that every day. I want to make your word a solid foundation for my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I pray, dear Father, for those who have prayed that, that you will confirm in their hearts, that you will help them, that you will guide them, that they will make the decisions that are the most helpful for their lives and for those people that are dependent upon their lives and their good decisions. Thank you, dear Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.